Today we're going to be on for about an hour, and the topic is Lego My Ego. It's named after the commercial for the Eggo waffles, if you remember, from the 80s. Lego My Ego. It is called Lego My Ego, Letting Go of the Ego by Seeing It as Nothing. This talk is being given by Tom Glad and myself, and is open to sharing if you find the spirit guiding you to take the microphone and to speak on this topic. But let's start off, however, in the usual manner, with an opening prayer. We take this time now to acknowledge our gratitude to God and to the Holy Spirit for bringing us together as we continue our search for truth and miracles. We affirm the presence of the one true teacher who is here among us and who speaks through each one of us. We affirm that what we hear here is what we were meant to hear, as into the awareness of his presence do we now enter. Amen. Talk to me and through me. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "There is nothing to fear but fear itself." But what is ego but fear? If the Holy Spirit is love, and love is all there is, if ego is what it is not, then ego is fear. And so we fear. And what is fear but the belief in something that is not true, as if it was true? The ego is just a belief. It's a belief in separation. It's a belief that I am a body. It's a belief that I am a separate self. And that belief that I am separate from my source is indeed a very scary thought, if I believe it. Into eternity, where all is one, there crept a tiny mad idea at which the Son of God remembered not to laugh. In his forgetting did the thought become a serious idea, possible of both accomplishment and real effects. We are told many times over and over again in A Course in Miracles that there are only two emotions, love and fear, but that fear is not real. So when we say that we are afraid of the ego, or we fear the ego, or the ego is something we need to watch out for, we are really saying what Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, that we are fearing fear itself. And so today's talk is about letting go of the ego, really seeing it as nothing. So one of the reasons why I felt prompted to talk about the ego is the way in which a student of A Course in Miracles can remain stuck by using or misusing the word ego and thereby staying in denial. For example, "Oh, that was just my ego," or, "Well, that's the ego," or, "The ego is doing it to me and I gotta watch out for that ego," or, "Man, that person is so an ego." It is just another way where we project our power away from ourselves, where we let go of responsibility for our own thoughts. We think of the ego as something separate, that it's not a part of our mind, that it's not just a belief that we have in our mind, but rather something that's doing something to us, making something out of nothing. The ego is nothing. The ego is just a belief. In fact, it's a whole conglomeration of beliefs all based on that one belief in separation. And that belief and all those beliefs are very scary thoughts. Again, if I believe it, if I believe it, if I believe that I am separate from my source, it is not the thought, it is the fact that I believe it that gives it all the meaning, that gives it all the power that it seems to have. You may be a Course in Miracles student, and you may actively say that you do not believe in the devil, that the devil is nothing. However, to say that the ego is something, to say that the ego is something to be feared, is to say that the ego is something to have awe for, when Jesus clearly states, "Reserve awe for your Creator," is to make the ego a replacement in your mind for what once you thought was the devil. It is to think that the ego has power over you, that it is something, something to be feared, something to be revered, something to be avoided, something to be controlled, something to be mastered, something to be powerless over. The ego, it is nothing, masquerading as something, given all the meaning and power by just the belief that it is something that it is not. The Course in Miracles talks about how it cannot tell you what love is, but that the purpose of it is the removal of the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. The blocks to the awareness of love's presence is what makes up the ego. So it is the undoing of the ego and the listening instead, more and more, to truth, to the voice for God, that is the sole purpose of the Course in Miracles, the purpose being peace, the return to love. So let's take a look and see how the egoic thought system works. First, let's take the belief that I am separate from God. That leads to the belief that I am guilty, I am alone, I am vulnerable, which leads to a fear of what will happen to me in the world, and a fear of my own power, because I have believed I have done the impossible. I have believed that I have separated from God. Now that one belief alone can sponsor a whole bunch of other beliefs, all based now on this fear of abandonment that can ensue. That, oh, you love me, but you'll leave. Or I love you, but I can't trust myself. Or how could I commit? How can you commit? Do you really mean that? Did he really mean that? Does he really love me? Does she really love me? I don't think you love me enough. You don't love me enough. You don't love me enough because I'm unworthy. I'm not enough. Or you left me and now you hurt me. I'm vulnerable to you. All based on that same belief. That same belief. That same belief in the one insane idea that I could be separate from my source, that I could have done that. Now I need to defend myself in the world, to get what I need, to make sure I'm okay, to protect myself from you, to protect myself from me, to protect myself from God. Because surely, if I could separate from God, what is God? So again, so I'm separate from God. I've accomplished the impossible. I am vulnerable. I am guilty. I am undeserving of good and afraid of what will happen to me in the world if I don't do something to defend myself or protect myself. And then it leads to the belief that I am unworthy, from which all ways in which I can see myself through that filter of unworthiness, I will experience myself as unworthy. And I will assume that's who I am. I will forget who I really am. But I am unworthy. And you know I'm unworthy. And man, I need to protect and hide that feeling of unworthiness from you. That shame from you. So that I can eke out love from you, even though I don't feel it for myself. Forgetting all the while that it is my own belief in unworthiness. I am projecting it out into the world, my new belief in my own vulnerability and my shame, and take on more and more reasons why this is true about me, as I seem to experience over and over again in the world something that never even happened. These are known as ego interpretations. But to understand what an interpretation is, in the world we think something happens, and we believe that we interpret what happens, and we can take it personally and make it about us, but we don't take it any further than that. We'll say, oh, well, I feel unworthy because my mother told me this when I was little, or that person left me when he said he loved me, etc. But to understand projection is to realize, as the Course states so clearly, that belief makes projection. Without belief, no projection. It's belief that makes projection. We don't see it and then interpret it and believe it However, we can make up more and more stories about what is happening, quote unquote, to prove that we are indeed unworthy. But we believe it first. And we believe it, we project it, and then we see it. We see it, and then we reinterpret it as proof. We strengthen that belief. We suffer more and more from it. All based on that same belief. And so what is the ego? But beliefs based on lies. And how do we let go of the ego? By allowing those lies to be unraveled, undone, by unlearning that which we thought we learned about ourselves and about our brothers and about God, but really was just a projection of a belief that was not based on truth. I am going to keep experiencing more and more reasons why I am unworthy. Degree I didn't get, the job that I got fired from, the person who told me I was overweight, whatever it is, I'm going to constantly be adding quote-unquote reasons, quote-unquote reasons for why I'm unworthy until I get to a point where I stop and I ask the Holy Spirit for a reinterpretation of what it is that I've been telling myself all this time. In that stopping, I don't ask the ego, what can I do about my unworthiness? I don't ask the ego, who can I talk to, who's going to love me, quote unquote, anyway? I don't ask the ego, what can I do to become a better person? How can I be a better person? How can I be more lovable? What can I do? How can I make up for whatever it is I'm holding against myself? All the stories. I don't ask the ego what to do about unworthiness. I don't ask the ego what to do about all these beliefs, all these resentments, all these fears about what people are going to do, what they think of me, whether or not they're going to be there for me, etc. I ask the Holy Spirit, tell me what the truth is. There must be another way of seeing this. I don't ask the ego because the ego is the belief in separation. It's the belief that I am a separate self. And that belief is what's fueling the unworthiness in the first place. Einstein said something along the lines of that the same mind that sees a problem can't fix it, can't see the solution. Well, if I am listening to the egoic belief that I have given all the power that I've given, that I am separate, that I am vulnerable, that I am unworthy, how can I look to that part of my mind for the answer to that? I can't. All I will get is more and more unworthiness. So we ask the Holy Spirit for a reinterpretation. And whatever part of the sequence that my awareness is at, that's what I bring to the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like that phrase, bloom where you're planted. It's not helpful to say that the ego is nothing and leave it at that when I believe it's something. It's not helpful to say that I forgive my brother when I still hold something against him and still believe that he has the power to hurt me. It's not helpful to tell myself that nothing happened when I believe something did. Although these things are true, the ego is nothing. My brother does not have the power to hurt me. Only my own attack thoughts cause me to suffer. And that nothing happened. It is necessary for me to see it and really experience it as nothing by asking the Holy Spirit to undo the tape, to undo the judgments, to let me see the truth instead, because it is only in seeing it and experiencing it as nothing that it no longer seems like something, and it easily falls away. So bloom where you're planted. The whole thing that's necessary is just the willingness to know what the truth is, to focus on the truth about you and realize that anything that gets in the way, anything that blocks your peace or the awareness of love is up for your healing, to welcome it, to own it, to say, this is what I thought, this is what I believed, but I know I'm suffering, so I know it cannot be true. I know, therefore, it's the ego. I will choose the Holy Spirit instead. Please, Holy Spirit, take this and show me what the truth is. And the Holy Spirit takes me back to that moment when I made that decision for myself, when I decided something was true, when it was not. And then by that shift in perception that I get with the Holy Spirit, it extends outward into all that I previously believed and all that I previously experienced, and everything shifts like dominoes until I realize that nothing happened. That everything that I thought, for example, based on the belief that I was unworthy, was nothing. Nothing. I took it personally because I believed that I was unworthy. I made it about me because I believed that I was unworthy. I did the things I did because I believed that I was unworthy. I said the things I said. I sought the things I sought in the world for my salvation because of my belief that I was unworthy. And to realize that that mad idea based on separation was not true is to allow the Holy Spirit to purify the mind. That's what the Course in Miracles calls it, the purification process, which is the undoing of the ego. So the ego is not this entity, this monster, this thing to be feared, this thing that's doing something to me that I need to be very afraid of. It is just a story, a conglomeration of beliefs all based on the belief in separation. I've been hearing often people sharing about how I don't know why I can't hear the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to know what the truth is. It's just the ego gets in my way. The ego, it's just the ego. But to really get that the ego is just that belief in separation is to realize that everything that the ego is to be brought up to the Holy Spirit. That the light is to be shined on it by the Holy Spirit. They have this acronym for ego, edging God out. I am choosing to listen to the stories I'm telling myself instead of listening to what the truth is. So how do I listen to what the truth is? Just recognizing that it's the ego is not enough, but a very good first step. In recognizing that it's the ego, I realize I do not want to suffer and that I am suffering because of this thought. By doing that, I detach from it. I take a step back. I become the observer, the decision maker, no longer listening blindly to the beliefs that I have spinning in my head from the ego, from that whole belief system. And instead, I ask the Holy Spirit for the truth instead. I enter into my right mind. That's how I listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit and I together undo the ego. By my willingness to listen to and trust the guidance of the one true teacher within me, I get to hear what the truth is instead of the ego. To choose the Holy Spirit instead of the ego is how we hear the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. It's like in physics where they say that a body in motion stays in motion until something of equal and opposing force stops it or changes its direction. A thought is a very powerful thing. And all that belief that is invested in that thought propels it in a direction. But then say it was just the ego and I'm sorry and I apologize and leave it at that. But to realize that in that moment is the opportunity to stop and ask, what was it that was driving that thought, that was driving that bus? What was it that I was believing? Instead of realizing that it is our thought that's driving it, the whole belief system that's driving it, we say, it's just the ego, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to come from ego, and we just leave it at that, and that is not helpful, because that thought that's coming up is to be healed. Otherwise, I'm going to do it again. It's going to happen again. It has to, because what's driving it has left untouched. There's a saying that pride goeth before the fall, and it is a common thing to say, you know, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that, I apologize, and not look at it, just wanting to look good, just wanting that the other person goes back to quote-unquote loving us, or admiring us, or whatever, but not looking at what was driving that. There's no change. In the 12-step program, they talk about an amends process. You know, when you amend a document, you change a document. So when you amend, you're amending, you're changing. You're changing what you believe. You're letting go of the lies. You're taking the truth instead. You're healing your mind, and you're not going to react again because it won't be in your mind to drive that bus. So when something seems to happen, it is helpful to realize that my reaction was not the only egoic part of this. In fact, it was just the fruit of the tree. My decision to think apart from God, my belief that I am separate, a separate self, and that I separated from God, my belief that I am vulnerable or unworthy, my projection of the belief onto all I think I see, my misinterpretation of my experiences as them happening to me, my need to defend myself against what I think is happening to me, and then my affirmation of that vulnerability, of that unworthiness, all make up the ego. For example, planting a plant in the ground, you plant the seed, you plant the dirt, you do everything you need to do, and you wait. And then all of a sudden, out pops this tiny little sprig in the ground. And you think, now it's a plant. Well, we think our reaction, now that was ego. But the reaction was just the fruit of the tree. There's so much that happens before it gets to a reaction. There's so much inner interpretation and a loss of peace. There's so much projection that leads to that interpretation. Before we get to that reaction, before we see that we don't like the way we feel and the way we're acting. But to realize that there is a thought that we are listening to, that we are giving all the power that it has, and that that's why we act that way. We stop and we take a step back again. What was it? What is it that I am telling myself that is driving this bus? What caused me to feel triggered? What am I reacting to truly? So we don't hide behind the word ego. We don't use it for denial. We don't use platitudes like, well, I know the ego is nothing, it's just a belief in separation. But we do recognize that we think it's something, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to show us the truth. At this point, I'm going to turn the mic over to Tom Glad. Tom?
All right, thanks, Lisa. Wow, and I'm supposed to add something to that? I think what the Course asks us to do is, like, first and foremost, just to question, like, these habitual responses that we have to things. And take that moment to stop and ask ourselves, hey, maybe there's another way of, like, seeing this. Maybe there's another way of reacting. And then, like, we start out having these new interpretations given to us, and then slowly you just start realizing, hey, I don't have to accept every single stupid thought that enters my mind. Knowing that there really is at least two interpretations of every situation. And that's kind of like the training of the Course. And I think initially, like, what I know happened to me as I started practicing this, like, years and years ago, I started feeling really happy that I don't have to, like, freak out or get angry or do any of this stuff that was, you know, my normal reaction. But, you know, it still took effort to dismiss those reactions. So like, that questioning aspect is, like, sort of like the first sort of habit that we have to get into. But then what needs to happen is actually we need to, like, dig deeper into our actual psyche, our actual, like, makeup of our thought system of what we've always thought ourselves to be in this world. Teddy says there are billions of interpretation. There is only one understanding that heals, and that is the understanding that comes when you join with the light of understanding that is the Holy Spirit. Amen, Teddy. So, like that whole battle with the ego of trying to resist it, trying to like not react with it, trying not to use it, like it does feel like a battle because the ego doesn't stop. So what needs to happen is like we need to actually like go into our minds with the Holy Spirit and look at these beliefs that make up these reactions. Like for example, if I see my mother and I have a and I don't have a good relationship with my mom, then anything she says is going to trigger something in me. It's gonna piss me off for one reason or another. Now, whenever I experience those reactions, I can stop and say, hey, okay, well, maybe that's not right. But that it's gonna keep on happening until I go into my mind and I find the reason, the shit I'm believing in, that's making me see my mother as someone who can piss me off or someone who has hurt me. Therefore, like there is this wall between us and she's my enemy and this and that. So the point is of what I'm trying to say in this prolonged sort of way is that there's a difference between our thoughts and our beliefs. Our beliefs are not conscious to us. Our beliefs create our thoughts, and it is those thoughts that we hear in our conscious mind as reactions. But we could chase those thoughts away all we want, but if the beliefs are still there, then the thoughts are just going to return, 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 and it's just never ending. So, yeah, there's like these two sort of phases to this whole mind training. So, it starts with the one, goes into the other, and they kind of overlap, anyways. So, I don't know. The one other thing I want to say about the ego is that we should not forget that our minds are extremely powerful, and the thought of separation from God, the tiny mad idea, which was really the birth of the ego, which is just a thought. It's not a thing, okay? It's a thought. Like it created this entire freaking universe, which shows you just exactly what the power of your mind is, that you can give one thought to such a powerful mind and poof, you find yourself in this world. You find yourself in this physical universe of separation or seeming separation. So the ego is made by the power of our minds, and part of the power we gave it is the power to keep itself alive, because we made the idea so that we could experience something. And like Jesus says, there's nothing more valuable to a mind than the beliefs that it has. So the ego is insane, but very clever. It'll try and keep itself alive. That's part of its sort of makeup. It says in the course that the ego is ingenious. Do you think the ego represents our freedom in a weird sort of way? Yes, it does. The mind of the Son of God is limitless, and God, in relationship to his sons, said, "Sons, I will always give you what you ask for. I will always give you what you ask for." And someone, I don't know who it was, but it might have been Teddy, thought of this whole tiny mad idea, and poof, there it is. So yeah, Frank, it's part of God's love for us. That's why, like, the ego is not an evil thing, okay? It's insane, but it's innocent, because it's just a thought, a meaningless thing that was accepted into a mind that is so powerful that it can seem to lose itself in that thought.
Thanks, Tom. There's a part in the course under the section, The Only Answer. The ego raised the first question that was ever asked, but one which it could never answer. And that question, what are you, was the beginning of doubt. You know, the ego being the belief in separation has a purpose in this world. And its sole purpose is to separate, to fragment, to cut off, to distance, to make apart. That is its sole purpose. Everything based on the belief in separation is going to be seen as from the perspective of the belief that we are separate. That I am a body, that I am vulnerable, that I can be hurt, that something can happen to me, that I can lose what I think I have, not get what I think I need, etc. That I could be not enough, that I could have not enough. All based on that belief. The ego's purpose is to maintain itself. This was very helpful to me, because throughout my life, one of my biggest things was that I was constantly projecting power away from myself, never accepting responsibility for the power of my own mind. And the ego being the belief that I am a body, that the truth is outside of me, that the source of my salvation and the source of my demise is outside of me, it is the source of fear. I was constantly projecting, projecting, projecting. This is what I need. This is what I need to avoid. Addictions, obsessions, compulsions, preferences, codependency, neediness, overdependency, fears of abandonment, worshipping, taking somebody else's opinion over the truth, my own intuition, dreaming about some future day when I will have something I think I don't have, even more something I think I don't deserve, somebody to rescue me. I was constantly looking into the world for my salvation. And by believing that I am separate, believing that I am a body, and that the truth is outside of me and not within me, was the source of so much suffering. So the realization that the ego is just a belief in separation was so helpful to undo the belief that something is happening to me, that I am powerless over this something, that I gotta watch out for this something, that I made it but I gave it all the power and now it has power over me, was keeping me small, was keeping me stuck. I needed to see it for what it is. Just a thought, a belief, and that I can change my mind. In Lesson 72, Holding Grievances as an Attack on God's Plan for Salvation, on page 125 in the Foundation Version, in paragraph 8, it says, "Your upside-down perception has been ruinous to your peace of mind. You have seen yourself in a body and the truth outside you, locked away from your awareness by your body's limitations. Now we are going to try to see this differently. The light of truth is in us, where it was placed by God. It is the body that is outside us and is not our concern. To be without a body is to be in our natural state. To recognize the light of truth in us is to recognize ourselves as we are. To see ourself with a capital S as separate from the body is to end the attack on God's plan for salvation and to accept it instead. And wherever his plan is accepted, it is accomplished already." Tom?
That thing you just mentioned about, like, blaming ego and giving it power over us and saying it's ego doing it to us. Like, there's, like, also a flip side to it that, like, we don't really experience here, but like in the Eastern traditions, there's this thing that they do is, they say, "Oh, my thoughts come from nowhere, and they disappear into nowhere, and blah blah blah." So that is like the flip side of this, giving it power, and then also denying the fact that you made the ego. It's like, and I know Teddy has a lot to say on that. Maybe he can take the mic. But yeah, there's like the two ways of dealing with it. You either feel guilty for it, and it becomes something that does something to you, or something that is beyond your control, or you just deny your responsibility for making it. Look, everybody. Okay, no, God, okay, didn't give you the ego. God didn't give me the ego. I made the ego because I was curious to find out what it'd be like to forget God. And, stupid idea to begin with, but nevertheless. and then, like in the course, it says when we are willing to take sole responsibility for the ego's making, then that's it. It's done. Okay, I understand that, sometimes it does feel like it's beyond our control, but that's part of its sort of, I don't know how to say, I don't want to use the word power, but it does, because of that split mind, because the Holy Spirit seems to be half your mind and ego the other half, it seems to be like this war, and you're stuck in the middle, and you're trying to choose one, but the other one is fucking with you, and and but the thing is that we need to realize is that the ego is not like half your mind. Your mind is whole and perfect. The ego is one thought in your mind. One thought that screams at you. And like, the difference between the ego and the Holy Spirit is so funny because the ego's always like screaming, always like making up this crazy stuff, and always so like violent in its sort of delivery. But Holy Spirit is like, it's calm, just relaxed, just telling the truth like it is.
Thanks, Tom. Marie, would you like to share?
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Lisa. Really, really beautiful stuff. I really, truthfully, in my practice, enjoyed very much just being with Holy Spirit about this one thought of separation. I love the early texts because that's where it talks about it. And I was really just very open to just be with that, and I can see it on so, what seems to be so many levels. My mind just opened, just wide open with embracing this one thought of separation. Not my one thought, and not your one thought, but one thought. One thought. And I just had a lot of experiences with Holy Spirit in my own awakening with this. And I feel like what it did for me was to make this practice very simple for me. Because that one thought, when Jesus says all illusions are the same, that's what it is. It's that one thought of separation. And like you were saying, that one thought of separation, I could see this in my mind's eye. Even though, you know, I and the Father are one, there really is just one, there's no me, there's no you, in the what I was shown with Holy Spirit was to see, I saw it like as a three-directional thing. Every illusion, every disturbance of peace, every unreal thought, they all do exactly the same thing, whether they're based in time or bodies. They put a separation, make me feel separated and divided in my being. They put, they make me feel, or they put a blinder between God and me, a veil, if you will, and they put a space between me and my brother by me projecting, or me feeling fearful of it, which is all the same. And I don't know, it just right there, the whole you know, understanding the egoic thought system is really, really easy for me. And it's like that came first, and whatever places where there were seemingly still roots, having that in place, really, I mean, I'm so grateful, because it allowed for me to pull roots that I couldn't pull before coming to A Course in Miracles. I wasn't able to. And now, I think with this also, I think the way forgiveness changes, well, forgiveness is always forgiveness, but I, you know, even coming to the Course, like forgiving my brother, you know, with the 12-step curriculum, there was already a lot of that. What the Course did was brought it into my mind, because my brother didn't do anything. That was, you know, and I recognized that, well, why forgive him? That's saying he did something wrong, and something went wrong, and it didn't, I had some problems with that. And I realized, or was shown to me, that each time we recognize a meaningless thought of separation, and we deny that thought, say, this is not real, but this is forgiveness. In the totality of the kingdom, it talks about denying the denial of truth. And that is forgiveness, because it goes beyond the error. It goes beyond the error. Say, this is not real. There's nothing happening here. It's just another illusion, another thought of separation. And that's not to say there are things that go deeper, because there are things that go deeper, or seemingly go deeper. But it was very, very useful to me to see this one thought of separation. And it makes it very easy, where the cause is not outside of me, it's not somebody else. And if a feeling is not love, if peace is disturbed, I mean, being able to do that, it's very quickly to go right into my mind. And then it becomes Holy Spirit. And I also say Holy Spirit's a trash can. That's the other thing that I do. See, there's another meaningless thought. Here you go, Holy Spirit. Here you go. I just trust that it's not true. If my peace is disturbed, if I'm not happy, if I'm aware of separation in any form, and I see it very quickly if your mind is saying he this, she this, there it is in bodies, right? And when you get into the he was or they will, then you're in time. So it's very easy to catch, to be more the observer of the dream than the dreamer of the dream projecting it out there. So anyway, Holy Spirit's my trash can. I just throw it. I don't ask on many things. I don't ask what it's for. it's all the same. If I need to know what it's for, or if I need a correction at that particular point or that particular thought, Holy Spirit will bring it to me or give it to me. Mostly I just trust that this is how I practice forgiveness, is denying the denial of truth more than anything else, being an observer of the mind. That's how I let go of my ego. Thank you for letting me share. I love you all. Here's the mic.
All right, thanks, Marie. I wanted to say something about something Teddy said earlier, that like the only way to heal is to actually join with the Holy Spirit, and through that joining, that's how you realize that what the ego was offering you is an illusion. It's not the concept of it being an illusion. It's clearly seen as an illusion because your mind is joined with the Holy Spirit. So for me, like, the way I experience it, like this whole undoing, is that, like, there's always two offers on the table for me, okay? Like, ego offers its thought system to me, Holy Spirit offers God's, and I choose not which one is true, because that's not up to me, but which one I think is valuable to me. So really what we're asked to do is first to say no to the ego's offering, and to say yes to the Holy Spirit's offering. And through that actual acceptance, and I mean, like, not just hearing it, I mean accepting it. There's a difference between hearing the Holy Spirit and accepting what the Holy Spirit is saying. Holy Spirit can talk all day long, but if you don't accept what he says, then, well, you know, you're not really healing. And what is most difficult to realize, by accepting the Holy Spirit's thoughts, there is like an actual joining that occurs, where the Holy Spirit's thoughts are no longer experienced as the Holy Spirit's thoughts. They're your thoughts, because you are joined with the Holy Spirit. It says in the Course, the Holy Spirit, Christ, and God are joined as one. Like, there has to be this actual joining that happens in order for an illusion to actually be seen as an illusion. It can't remain, like, this split between Holy Spirit and ego cannot remain in our minds. Yeah, it's good to know, to learn to know the difference between the two, but you don't actually know the difference between the two unless you actually learn to join with the Holy Spirit. So anyone who's actually experienced this joining knows what I'm talking about. And for those who haven't, just wait for it. It's awesome. And it's going to blow your socks off and whatever else you might be wearing at the time. So I'm dropping the mic for Lisa. Bye.
Thanks, Tom. There's a part in the Course in Chapter 6, The Lessons of Love, about how to tell the difference between the ego's projection and the Holy Spirit's extension. And it says that the difference between the ego's projection and the Holy Spirit's extension is very simple. The ego projects to exclude and therefore deceive. The Holy Spirit extends by recognizing himself in every mind and thus perceives them as one. Nothing conflicts in this perception, because what the Holy Spirit perceives is all the same. Wherever he looks, he sees himself. And because he is united, he offers the whole kingdom always. This is the one message God gave to him, and for which he must speak, because that is what he is. The peace of God lies in that message, and so the peace of God lies in you. The great peace of the kingdom shines in your mind forever, but it must shine outward to make you aware of it. And what this means to me is that at any given moment, and Tom just touched on this, is that I can come from one of two thoughts. One could be based on an impossibility, the belief that I am separate from God, separate from you, separate. Or one based on the foundation of truth, that I am one with all there is. And just like in the building of a house where you want the foundation to be strong and solid and secure, the foundation of truth is a gentle knowing. There's just this awareness. It's a peaceful knowing. There's no doubt. There's no conflict. There's no shaky ground to be on. There's no fear. There's just a knowing. Frank Barker, would you like to share?
Hey, thanks, Lisa. And may I say, your willingness is just so beautifully inspiring. It's just gorgeous because that's where I think no matter what we discuss in this room, our oneness is really represented in our willingness, and your willingness just shines so brightly through no matter what the words are. The mere fact that we join in this room, and this is where we truly join in our desire to truly see. So I guess all what I felt to share was maybe something I just need to share to strengthen my resolve, to strengthen what I'm to learn at the moment or unlearn. But for me, it's really been just trying to keep it simple. And the Course continuously tells us, and I'm not saying, and please don't take that as an implication that nobody else in this room today has been saying it's not simple. But the simplicity for me now is just make that decision in every moment. Whose voice am I going to listen to right now? The egos or the Holy Spirit? And so then I guess the people that come into this room are asking the question then, or how do I hear the voice? How do I hear the voice for God? And how do I forgive? How? And then we'll come into so many different versions. And it can get confusing, I think, for many of us, how to forgive, because we do have a sort of highly individualized background and experience to share. You know, we weren't all born on the same day to the same parents in the same country with the same skin color, with the same DNA when it comes to all our ego life experiences. But when it comes to our purpose, to the end, our means may be different, but our end is the same, and our goal is the same. And when a situation arises, we don't have a choice of how the situation plays out in form, but we always have a choice in whose eyes do we want to see this with. So for me at the moment, it is simply, I think Lisa sort of put there as an idea that people ask, how do I know when it's the ego talking and when, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit talking? Well, if we're not feeling peace, if there is a thought of conflict, it cannot be the Holy Spirit. Something I was sharing today was something out of The Other Voice, where Jesus basically says, if you feel conflict that's not of God, then say to yourself, this is conflict and it does not need to be. And to be still and the presence that shall come to you shall be the Holy Spirit. So simply to be, and as Regina would put it in her Ramana teachings, which just resonates beautifully for me, and that's why I share it, because it feels right for me. When she says, you know, we don't have a choice of what is going to be up in front of us, but we do have a choice of where. And that where is your mind? Where is our attention? You know, where is, whose mind, whose eyes are we going to choose to see with? And then simply say, this thought cannot be of God. I can choose again. And to look at that thought from that step back, one step back perspective. I do believe that is the Holy Spirit. We start to see, we see it from a different angle, and that's where it is dissolved. It may not dissolve instantly, but it is a quantum leap forward, because in that self-inquiry, in that inquiry of a grievance or a conflicting thought, gates just swing open widely and love rushes in. And I think it really just truly gets down to just willingness, constant willingness and vigilance, that diligence to just stay alert and keep on that work, that willingness, and willingness is everything. So anyway, I hope that was helpful. Here's the mic. Love you lots.
Thank you, Frank Barker. Man, I can't wait to go to Australia to see you. Anyway, we only have a few minutes left, and there's just one more point that I'd like to point out, and that is another way that you can see whether or not you are listening to the ego or the Holy Spirit. And that is to ask yourself whether or not you see yourself as a body or as spirit, whether you are body identified or spirit identified. There's a catchy phrase that we are not humans having a spiritual experience, but spirit having a human experience. If I am not body identified, I don't feel like I need to protect and defend it. I don't feel like it is me, that I am vulnerable and limited, as is the body. Instead, I come from a spirit, which is my eternal self, my truth, wholeness. And from that perspective, I wouldn't need to defend myself. I wouldn't need to attack, because I feel like I am one with all. And so that's the difference. When I think the ego is my personality, and I think the ego is who I am, I can get caught up in the past, constantly thinking about what happened. And I could be constantly in the future thinking about what's going to happen. But when I am spirit identified, I am present. I am in the now. There is no past. There is no future. There is only now. And in that now is my eternity. For truly, it is always now. Tom, would you like to share some final words?
Okay. I just wanted to say the other way of telling is, like, the Holy Spirit never changes his mind. Like, the Holy Spirit is so consistent in his answers and in his interpretations. And ego just isn't. Ego's interpretation can change, like, in an instant, and be, like, completely different than what it was before. And that just doesn't happen with the Holy Spirit. So it's been a good hour. Thanks everybody for coming, and I'm dropping the mic for you, Lisa.
Thank you all of you who have taken the microphone, Frank and Marie, and of course Tom, who is joining me to do this talk for this hour. This will be posted on gentlelessons.com. But now let's close in the normal fashion. Let's take this time now to hold in gratitude, our lessons learned, our beliefs in separation, unlearned, and the blocks to the awareness of love's presence released, as we listen to and follow the guidance of that one true teacher within, the Holy Spirit. Let's take this moment now to embrace the truth that we are one, and let's do this in silence. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Amen.